I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
An insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL Lunch.
Cooked you a turducken. There it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio. 105.7 The Fan.
Todd Peterson Football, NFL Lunch style. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Woman Crush Wednesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Noel McGraw. Other side of the glass, Derrick Henry. Monster. First season in Baltimore, almost 2,000 yards on the ground. Multiple touchdowns. Just a brilliant season for a guy that's headed to Canton when it's all said and done. But Derrick Henry will not play in the preseason. And Derrick Henry met with the media yesterday and was asked, that you're not playing in the preseason, what are your goals for training camp?
Continue to work in training camp. I think this is the ultimate work that you can put in to get ready for week one. And that's just my main focus, is coming out here, doing the best I can to make me better every day, be the best teammate I can be the best leader, and bring that intensity and hold myself accountable each and every day.
I think, Bob, the thing that he's working on and they're working on with him, too, to get him more involved in the pass game, because he's never been truly involved. I mean, because once that big dude gets some momentum going, that's a hard guy to tackle, and especially, like, if he's in the secondary, you don't want to see 255 pounds coming at you and you weighing, a buck 90.
And since you mentioned that, here's Derrick Henry talking about possibly – or wanting to be more involved in that passing game.
Taking advantage of any opportunity that I get in the pass game. We have great pass catchers out of the backfield. Justice, Keaton, Rasheen, those guys do a hell of a job. And, as Monk gives me opportunity, I try to catch it. So, thank God I caught it.
Yeah, I mean, I saw him catch one-handed catch and stuff. I mean, he's getting better, Is he ever going to be a great route runner? No. Just because he's so long and tall, for him to get in and out of cuts, probably not great. And he is working on his pass protection. I see him, they did a drill yesterday. And he's got the size to do it. So it'll be I would prefer, Bob, because he's getting older, give him some less, especially if Keaton is doing well. Give him some less reps so I can have him for 2 years, and I don't wear him out.
Last year for Derrick Henry, 19 catches, 22 targets, 193 yards, 2 touchdowns. Justice Hill, for example, 42 catches, 383 yards, 3 touchdowns. And you mentioned Keaton Mitchell, who in limited time only had 1 catch. But, yeah, so I don't see Derrick Henry, does he level up much or no?
Probably not, just because Keaton will get some of Justice Hill's, I would think, especially if he can, do the blocking and stuff. Because we keep talking about, Bateman, Zay, but, all these other guys got to get more reps. All right, and we're saying that they can get more yards because penalties. All right, so if Lamar threw for 42, and he throws for 45. If he throws for 4,500 yards, Bob, that's an awesome year, right? I mean, they were number one in offense last year. So you're talking about 300 more yards with 5 or 6 more guys, and we're saying, well, this guy can get 200 more yards. They can't.
Unless they have like 8,000 yards of total offense or something crazy like that. And you mentioned Keaton Mitchell, so did Derrick Henry. Here's Derrick Henry talking about Keaton Mitchell building back that speed that was top-notch just 2 years ago.
I mean, he put a lot of work in to get back to this point, and I know how bad he wants it and how hard he worked to get back to, what he feels like himself, and he's been showing it through OTAs and in camp, and I think y'all have seen flashes of him making some splash plays, and that's just who he is. And you know, that is credit to him and his work ethic to get back to where he wants to be an explosive player.
And I've been through that knee rehab and stuff. You know, it is not easy. You know, and you know what the thing about it is for the guys that get that? I mean, Bob, it's you and the trainer, you know, because guys are out of practice and guys are doing other things. You feel like, you know, you're not part of the team. You go to the games and, you know, you don't really get excited because you're not doing anything. And then the rehab is a grind. And he's done a hell of a job because it's taken him, what, year and a half? Something like that. It's taken a while, but you got to give that kid a ton of credit.
It's Vinny at Haney 105.7 The Fan NFL Lunch here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, Namdi Madubuike. We're cool with him. Like, sack total hopefully goes up a little bit back to where it might have been 2023. But here's Madubuike talking about, or was asked about, his connection with Travis Jones here in camp so far.
Yeah, you know, we are very, very more coordinated than we've ever been. This whole year, this past offseason, we've been working together in games, working together in communication. He's gotten stronger. He's got me stronger. He's pushing me in the weight room, pushing him in the weight room. I'm pushing him on the field with conditioning. We're just both iron sharpening iron. And we have great chemistry. We both love each other as brothers and just as teammates as well. So, you know, the sky's the limit for both of us. I feel good about it.
I think Travis Jones has made, you know, great strides. And, we, you know, Madubuike helping him stuff, I think that's awesome. Because you do work together a lot, you know, stunting and twisting and playing, you know, the games and stuff. So I think it's great for. I think both are going to have outstanding years. I think Travis Jones, if he can stay healthy, I think he's going to have a real big year because he is so powerful and so strong.
Too big for Baltimore to afford in the offseason?
Oh, man. I mean, with Lindenbaum, with Hamilton, you got a tight end or two that you're going to have to pay. It's going to be, you know, and you're paying Madubuike a ton of money. I don't, you know, but you don't really have a young guy that you're kind of developing there either. So, yeah, that's going to be an interesting one, Bob, because if he gets five sacks or whatever, he's getting paid.
And finally here on NFL Lunch, 105.7 The Fan, Madubuike talks about the reps yesterday against the Colts.
Good competition. Feel like we got better today, which is good to be out there with a different team, just get different looks. So, yeah, feel good today.
I think just from listening to people, I watched the second part of – I thought they were better in the second half than they were in the first half. Sounds like in the first half they were struggling in the run stuff, you know. And the Colts have a good offensive line. Very good offensive line, you know. And the running back is a special dude, too. So, yeah, it is good work for them because, you know, with Derrick Henry, you're kind of seeing a downhill, you know, big putt where Jonathan Taylor's more pick, slide, you know, vision, weight, burst, those types of things.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Orioles, Philly scoreless through two up in Philadelphia. Trevor Rogers against Suarez. That's your pitching matchup. When we come back, Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. Get his thoughts on the National Football League and in particular the AFC North. Is he more optimistic about his Steelers and their chances this year? And which of the hold-ins is most likely to sign?
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
First, Ravens walk through today ahead of the preseason opener tomorrow against the Colts. Had the joint practice yesterday out at One Winning Drive. Joining us now to talk some NFL as he does every Wednesday from CBSSports.com. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back our buddy Ryan Wilson. Ryan, what's happening?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. It's going all right. Now, before we get to the hold-ins and the most likely to sign first, and there's a few pretty significant names part of that list, you said, even with Rodgers and the draft and the moves that the Steelers have made, you see 9-8, 10-7, and all of the mediocrity, I guess, for a better-than-average team that they have been. Maybe an early playoff exit that's been a reality for Steelers since, what, 2016 and all that fun stuff. Anything over the last couple of weeks, Ryan, based on the intel that you're getting, that makes you think they'll be better or worse than you anticipated before training camp started?
Well, most of the reports are that the offense starting with Aaron Rodgers has not been great. So that's not encouraging news, given how the offense has looked in that post-Big Ben world. Defense has been lights out, so, you know, that's encouraging. But the defense typically looks pretty good this time of year. It's just been December and January football where things seem to fall apart in terms of keeping the other team out of the end zone. So in that sense, not a lot's changed. I still think they're going to, you know, win 8.5 games. It's just a matter of whether Aaron Rodgers can get on the same page with his wide receivers. And I say wide receivers plural, but there's not much after DK Metcalf and trading George Pickens. They have to figure out who the number two is going to be. Tight end room is fine. The offensive line needs to continue to get better. It's a young group, and they've struggled at times this year in terms of running the football during training camp. So they're the third best team in the division. And the real question isn't Baltimore. We know who they're going to be. It's whether, for the first time, I think, since they hired Zach Taylor, whether they can come out and win a couple games in the first 2 weeks of the regular season. I think they're 1-11 in weeks 1 and 2 under Zach Taylor over their last 7. So that's probably the biggest pressing question that's been yet to be answered in the AFC North. But I think the Steelers are, you know, to quote the late, great Denny Green, exactly who we thought they were.
Hey, Ryan, what's your opinion of teams now, especially like Cincinnati, that they're going to play veterans more in the preseason?
Yeah, if I'm Zach Taylor, I'm doing everything differently because nothing has worked. That team has looked completely and wholly unprepared the first 2 weeks of the season. And part of that's been Joe Burrow has had these weird sort of injuries come up in late July, whether it's the appendectomy or the calf injury was another thing. So try it and see what happens, because what this team keeps doing is getting off to a slow start and they're 2-4 and then they're trying to overcome what most teams historically cannot overcome. And last year was no different for them. They missed the playoffs, even though they were one of the best teams down the stretch offensively. Also, I would just encourage them not to anger their first round picks and their best player on defense. But that's a conversation for another time if you're the Cincinnati Bengals.
Now, Ryan, what about these 3 hold-ins? You know, I mean, because Bob asked me which one I thought would get done first. I'm guessing maybe McLaren gets done first. It sounds like Micah could be there a while, and Hendrickson, you know, who knows with that one too.
Yeah, and James Cook is another one who's holding in, and he's holding in while Kyron Williams is signing the deal that he probably should have signed. So I would have some questions if I'm James Cook to my agent about why am I doing this. In Buffalo, you're not going to – the offense runs through Josh Allen, so you can be – James Cook is a great player, but let's be real. There's one guy that you're worried about there. In terms of Trey Hendrickson, I just don't understand. Micah Parsons falls in this category too. Why would you anger – one of your best players who was instrumental to your defense having success? And Mike is 25. Trey is 30, at least 30 years old. And, you know, we talk about Jerry Jones all the time. He did it with CD. He did it previously with Dak. Joe Burrow was the highest paid quarterback at $55 million. So Jerry drags his feet and then has to pay Dak $60 million, not 56, not 57, $60 million. So T.J. Watt makes $41 million, the highest paid edge rusher. I guess that means Micah's going to make 43 or 44, where if you'd paid him in the spring, it would have cost you less than that. So I don't understand the math, but Jerry Jones has taken a Cowboys team that he bought for $150 million, and they're worth $10 billion, so maybe he knows more than me. And Terry McLaurin is an interesting one. I actually think Terry has some leverage in that offense. He's incredibly important to that offense and Jaden Daniels. They have Debo Samuel there, but is he a number one? I'm not sure he is. And even though he's going to be 30 in a few months, it feels like Terry is going to have to get close to $30 million for him to be out there. And maybe the Commanders don't want to pay that, but I think that's going to show up on the field when the offense doesn't look like it did a year ago.
Now, Ryan, if you're Detroit, you know, and you lose 34-7, I never liked it, you know, like if I was with a team and you get blown out in the preseason, you know, because then it's like, do we not have depth? You know, what's our problem?
Yeah, and the turnovers were their problem.
5.
And the inconsistent quarterback play with Kyle Allen was also a problem. They want to see Hendon Hooker play better, the former third-round pick. I mean, he's not going to be the starter, but if he's the number two and Jared Goff goes down, then you feel a little bit better about that. I do think you have to guard against overreacting. It's the Hall of Fame game, so you've only been in camp barely 2 weeks, and a lot of guys – aren't going to be in that final roster. And you have to sort of balance that with the idea of playing guys and making sure they don't get hurt. There's also the issue of both coordinators are gone to head coaching jobs. So how do you feel about that? And all you've heard out of camp is how happy people are with John Morton, the OC. But it didn't look great, for sure. I would just caution against overreacting in the other direction and then ending up hurting yourself down the line because you were trying to win a preseason game. I say that with the understanding that Anthony Richardson is going to start, but they're playing the Ravens, who are undefeated in the John Harbaugh era in preseason. So they might be setting AR up to fail here.
What do you think Shedeur Sanders is going to perform like this weekend?
You know, it's funny, Vinny. I remember a couple of years ago when Dorian Thompson-Robinson played in the preseason, and he was lights out. And I said, oh, my gosh, this guy's going to outplay his day three draft status. And he looks like he's an eventual spot starter, maybe earns a role 3 or 4 years down the line. So I want to guard against that because they've since traded DTR to the Philadelphia Eagles for Kenny Pickett. But you go out there, get out of the huddle, avoid pre-snap penalties, get through your reads, don't make dumb throws. Just the simple stuff that you talk about from day one of high school football all the way through to preseason here. And I think that's a good starting point for Shedeur, who is technically QB4. All the other guys are banged up or Joe Flacco's just not playing because he's older. So just go out there and do your job, to quote Bill Belichick, and don't try to do too much. And I think that's a good starting point, and you build from that. Because, you know, if he goes out there and throws 3 interceptions, that's a wrap. If he goes out there and throws for 200 yards and 3 touchdowns, then, of course, we're going to spend the next few weeks wondering when he's going to end up being a starter.
Who do you have more faith in going into the season from what you've heard or from what you've seen, J.J. McCarthy or Caleb Williams?
Oh, Caleb. It's not even close. I think Caleb was in a bad spot last year because they fired Shane Waldron after 6 weeks. That offense looked like it was never going to be in sync. And then Matt Eberflus, from all indications, lost the locker room, if not shortly after that, at that time. And I think with Ben Johnson, and the reports out of training camp have been mixed in Chicago, and that's not necessarily a surprise. It's a new offense and a bunch of new faces there on the coaching staff. But I have ultimate faith in Ben Johnson. I have a ton of faith in Caleb Williams. J.J. McCarthy stuff, those reports have been up and down as well. He's had some good days and some bad days. And, I talked to you guys about this at the time. I had a lot of questions about drafting him so high coming out of Michigan, where he was not asked to do a whole bunch. He was really good on third downs, but the other two downs, he just handed the ball off or, you know, made simple throws. So that's a big leap going from that to where you are now. Vikings won 14 games last year with Sam Darnold. Defense is going to be great, but you also have to execute. If you're down 10 points in the fourth quarter, it's going to be put on J.J. McCarthy, and I just don't know if he can do it. He looked great in this one preseason game before he got hurt last year, but as I mentioned, preseason is not even the same conversation as what regular season football looks like.
Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Ryan, last thing for you. We had Jeffrey Chedillo on yesterday, NFL Network, NFL.com, talking about Patrick Mahomes, and in particular the arm strength. Because I've seen lists. We love lists in the offseason, Ryan. Top 5 arms in the NFL. He wasn't on any of those lists. And I'm thinking, we're talking about Patrick Mahomes, right? The guy that made, like, throwing a football like a new art form for a lot of people. And, you know, the reasons that the weapons are gone, the offensive lines kind of suck. Have we kind of forgotten? Best throw he made all year was probably the 50-yarder to Worthy in the Super Bowl, where they were getting blown out. But have we forgotten that, you know, Patrick Mahomes was kind of setting a new trend in regards to cannon arms here? And will we see him start to show that thing off a little bit more in 2025?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. It feels like we have sort of taken him and Andy Reid for granted, which is, you know, crazy talk when you say it out loud. Because, he's top 5 arm strength. And even if he's not, I mean, you're talking about Joe Milton, for example, who, you know, can throw a football probably 100 miles an hour. Joe Milton's a backup for a reason and got traded from the Patriots for a reason. So at the end of the day, arm strength isn't the end all be all. I was at Bills camp on Monday, and Josh Allen didn't let one go, but we know what he can do, and he just flips his wrist, much like Patrick Mahomes does, and the ball usually gets to where it's going faster than just about everyone else. So I think sometimes we put too much stock in arm strength. Every NFL quarterback can make every NFL throw. Anthony Richardson has great arm strength. He hit the roof at his pro day, you know, big whoop. What does that mean? Will Levis is now, season's over because he had shoulder surgery. He has a big arm. So, sleep on Patrick Mahomes if you want. Sleep on Andy Reid if you want, but there's a reason that they keep winning the division and keep finding themselves in the Super Bowl. So I will not make that mistake.
Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. Ryan, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Woman Crush Wednesday.
Thank you, guys.
There's Ryan, everybody. We'll come back, give you an Orioles update, go around the American League East, then we'll get a funhouse trip with Nolan McGraw. Matter of fact, we haven't even talked about the Colts. If we don't have time, we'll talk about it tomorrow. How did they look? I mean, the AFC South, it's Houston's to lose, or is it?
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto.
A closer look at the AL East with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Well, let's look with a microscope. What's going on in Philadelphia right now? Fourth inning. Birds taking on the Phillies. Orioles last night got shut out for the 12th time this season. New shutout today. Jeremiah Jackson doubled in. Gunnar Henderson. Henderson singles the lead off the inning. Adley reaches on an infield hit. He's 2-for-2, by the way. Jackson doubles. Kobe Mayo hits a three-run missile off Ranger Suarez, 421 feet. So the Orioles right now, top of the fourth. Carlson just flied out after Moonman grounded out, so two outs. Four zip.
Yep.
And for Trevor Rogers, the way that he's pitching, that might be enough. Don't want to jinx him. Philadelphia, very explosive offensive team. But for the Orioles, this is an outburst for them. They haven't put up this side of a crooked number stuff since the last game against Toronto, and that was a week ago when they lost 9-8 right before the trade deadline. So the Birds, they're up 4-0. Kobe Mayo with a very impressive three-run homer last night. They lose 5-0, but we don't want to harp on the negative. Let's concentrate on their here and now. And the Orioles trying to get out of Philly with a win here. Last night in the division, Red Sox taking on the Royals. And Trevor Story, remember how bad he was early in the year? Now playing like the guy who was an all-star for the Rockies.
First pitch, swing, and a bouncy ball to the middle and through. That's a base hit. Bregman scores. Abreu around second. And Trevor Story comes home with his third RBI of the night and extends the Red Sox lead.
Nesson on the call. 6-2 was the final score. Story with three. Abreu drove in two. That Garrett Crochet guy. Nah, we couldn't have traded for him. Seven innings pitch. Four hits, eight strikeouts. His 13th win of the season. Red Sox have now stacked seven consecutive wins. That, my friends, is a winning streak. Rangers taking on the Yankees. And a little eighth inning drama in Texas.
Outside. Full count. One out, bases loaded, full count. Now they're coming to their feet. 10th pitch of the at-bat. And it's lifted to center. It's down, base hit. Two runs headed to the plate. And the Rangers, at long last, have the lead.
Rangers Sportsnet, Rowdy Tellez getting rowdy off Devin Williams. What a disaster that guy's been for New York this year. Two-run single, eighth inning. That was all she wrote. 2-0 final score. Nathan Eovaldi, outstanding. Eight innings pitched. Only one hit, six strikeouts as the Yankees lose their fifth consecutive game. Aaron Judge returned to the lineup last night. 0-for-3 with a couple of Ks. Toronto taking on the Rockies. And let's just say a first-place team did what they were supposed to do against the last-place team.
Line drive, right field. Fair ball, bouncing into the corner. Bichette jogs home with Guerrero right behind him. Varsho drives in two more, and the Blue Jays lead 10-4.
Dalton Varsho fresh off the IL a few days ago. He's bringing a hot bat with him. Vlad Jr., Barger, Lucas all go deep as well. 10-4 was the final score. Barrios picks up his eighth win as Toronto puffy pants the Colorado Rockies in LA last night, or Anaheim. Rays taking on the Angels, and a former Terp speaking loud with his stick.
Oh, that's hit well. Straightaway center field. Brandon Lau has hit one out.
and the Rays take a 2-0 lead. Bryce Teodosio made a heck of an attempt, and it just got beyond his reach. And Brandon Lau gives the Rays a 2-0 lead.
FanDuel on the call. 7-3 would be the final score. As you heard, Lau with a two-run jack. Mangum drove in two runs. Ryan Pepio picked up his win, the seventh of the season for him. And it was 7-3. Angels over, or losing, rather, to the Rays. Orioles 4-0 over the Phillies right now. Other games today, Yankees at Texas, 235. Toronto's at Colorado, 310. 407, Rays and Angels. And then Boston's at Kansas City at 710. Games happening as we speak. Pittsburgh 1-0 over the Giants. Guardians 1-0 over the Mets, who are struggling a little bit here. And then the Twins, speaking of struggling, they're 3-0 over the Tigers, who have been kind of dreadful. They had the best record in baseball going into the All-Star break. They don't even have the best record in the American League at this point in time. That belongs to the Toronto Blue Jays. Speaking of the standings, Toronto 3-0 on Boston. Yankees 6.5 off the pace. Detroit, they were up by like 15 games.
Yeah.
It's down to 7. Houston's 3-0 on Seattle, but as I doomed the Mariners earlier, Nolan, I picked them to win the division, so they'll probably go in like a 10-game losing streak when it's all said and done. Rangers are percolating. They've moved to within 4.5. Phillies are 2.5 up on the Mets. Brewers 4 games up over the Cubs. Brewers' best record in baseball. They've won 5 in a row. And the Dodgers 3 up on the Padres in the West. Wild cards if the playoffs started today. Boston, Seattle, and New York. However, Texas has moved to within 0.5 a game of the Yankees in the wild card. Cleveland all of a sudden. There was a time a month ago where the Orioles were 0.5 a game behind the Guardians. Right now, the Guardians are 1.5 games out of the wild card. Whew. Orioles are 9. And then in the National League, it's the Cubs, Padres, and Mets. Reds are 3 back there. We'll come back, take a trip to the funhouse, get you up to date on there, keep you up to date on the Orioles, Phillies, and then Inside Access comes up at 2 o'clock. Don't forget tomorrow, Ravens open their preseason against the Colts. It will get you ready for that and more here on The Fan. Me, Joe, Jim Duquette, Jen Royal, we were the host of the original BBT going back to 2011, so we'll talk to our buddy getting into immortality as an Oriole, along with Tom Davis and Adam Jones. So stay tuned for Slack. And then we're going to preview the Orioles and Colts-Ravens matchup at M&T Bank Stadium. Start breaking down some positional things because you're not going to see Lamar. You're not going to see Henry. But you're going to see Keaton Mitchell.
Yep.
You're going to see Tez Walker. I'm going to gander at Aeneas Peoples and Mike Green, as we talked about. Mm-hmm. How's Bo Braid coming along in his second year in the National Football League? And, you know, when Tyler Loop gets out there to kick a field goal,
oh, all eyes will be on.
Is he going to make it? So, Nolan, what's going on in your mind as the Orioles are kind of clobbering the Phillies top of the fifth up 4-0? And we were talking about the Roman Anthony deal in Boston and throwing out some possible Orioles that aren't Holiday, Adley, Gunner. Jordan Westberg's a Scott Boras client. So cross that off your list.
Yep.
Are we circling back to Moo Man?
Well, it's apparently it's a non-starter at this point. You just look, if these guys don't want to come to the table, and I'm by no means am I blaming the players in this standpoint. I do think the organization is kind of sitting on their hands here. But if you were to go to them and offer them contracts and they don't seem receptive to that, hey, all right, F you. Let's take that money and let's go spend it elsewhere. And if that's what ends up happening, if that money ends up getting spent, then it's all fine by me. But please spend the money. I mean, no more of this penny pinching. No more of this value deals. We need good value. We need to build a team like the Rays. Enough. That's not how you win as a baseball team. It's just not.
Orioles can live in a higher rent district than those teams. Kansas City, Pittsburgh as well. Cleveland. Rubenstein said, I'm willing to do. They're not going to be the Dodgers. Let's get used to that, or the Cubs, or Philly for that matter, but they could spend more than these other teams. Question is, are you going to have a lame duck GM going into these negotiating processes? Your manager's already gone. Tony Manzalino's probably not getting the job. So he's going to have to hire a skipper first and foremost. Then he's going to have to sign free agents, but if the Orioles tank, he's probably out the door. So, I mean, the players will commit to the dough and the guaranteed money, but I don't know, man. It's he has helped create quite the quandary here this offseason. Should have just kept Hyde, played it out to the end of the year, and then if you're going to bust a move, blast them both, and then start afresh. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, it's starting to look like the firing Hyde midseason may have ruined the chances of getting Elias out of here a little bit sooner. And in the same way that...
Well, bring that smoke, Noah.
You want people to actually tell the truth here or just keep talking? Hey, the Orioles, 51 wins. They're great, man.
No.
They're great.
Bad.
They've never done anything wrong in their entire organizational history.
They peaked on opening day. That's a problem.
Right.
That's a big problem.
So,
but they're winning today.
In the same way that I believe their free agency approach will get a pretty good indication of how serious they are early on, we're going to get an early indication with the manager decision as well. If that hire ends up being another Brandon Hyde 2.0, somebody that's a first-timer, somebody that's just going to come in here and say yes to everything Elias is doing, well, then right then and there, that's going to be the sign of where we're going. This was always a multi-step process. What he did at the deadline, I was in favor of it. I thought it was fine. That alone at the deadline, passing grade. But that was only step one of God knows how many steps. And if manager is step two and he fails that, then that's all I need to see. I don't need to see what happens in 3, 4, 5 because I'm not interested at that point.
Yeah, and he's got plenty of time to, let's say, assess the candidates, unlike the last time when Brandon Hyde was hired where he was kind of, you know, up against it.
Well, the only thing, if you're a candidate and you've got multiple teams that are after you and you look at, okay, let me look at the organization. All right, Mike Elias. He gets the guy who's hiring me gets fired. Then they bring in a new GM. And then what does that say from, you know, so it's not that like you guys keep are saying it's not a great situation for a good manager to come in. Cause this is not a job that is that a players wise. Yeah. I like a lot of the players, but the situation with my GM, I'm not crazy about that.
And look, if Boshi steps down in Texas, Snicker retires in Atlanta, which is widely speculated. I mean, those are Texas is not even 2 years removed from winning the World Series. Atlanta's just a couple of years removed from winning the World Series and making the playoffs. And they've been crushed by injuries more than the Orioles. Their entire starting rotation on opening day is on the 60-day IL. So there are going to be other teams out there looking for like high-level skippers outside of the Baltimore Orioles. They're up 4-0, though. Trevor Rogers has been dealing. God bless this guy. And I apologize for all the bad things I said about him when he was not pitching all this well. We have time for a funhouse.
Quick Draws Funhouse. Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com. 105.7 The Fan.
First one here says, hardly surprised by the Tyler O'Neill news. This is exactly what the Orioles signed up for. And the worst part is, most of the stuff that's kept him out isn't even significant. It's little things like this hand issue, the latest one. If you're going to miss time, you better be really hurt. At this point, I'm not opposed to the team just eating the money and moving on.
And look, he, like the texter just said, neck, back, shoulder, wrist. I mean, head, shoulders, knees, and toes. I mean, he's going through the whole anatomy here. Unfortunate injury that it happened. But, you know, guys who aren't injury prone probably don't get hurt.
Pain or injury.
That way. Wearing a soft cast or whatever it was today.
As far as the Orioles' outfield concerns moving forward, texter here says, please make a strong push for Kyle Tucker in the offseason. Would cover right field, 30 home runs, 100 RBIs guaranteed right in the middle of your lineup. Between Beavers, Bradfield, Carlson, and Couser, they should be able to fill out the rest. Seems like a solid plan to me. Go after the big fish.
He's what? At least 400 or 500 mil. There's a reason Houston got rid of him because they didn't think they were going to be able to keep him around long term, but the grass isn't always greener. Now, Kyle Tucker's playing for a team that's got a chance to win in the Cubs. I'm assuming they're going to do everything they can to keep him around. All the heavy hitters would be interested, but to the texter's point, I was talking about the other Kyle earlier, Schwarbsy, but Tucker all day long, for sure. Right fielder Camden Yards? Hell yeah.
As far as our gripes on the Roman Anthony signing, what we think is an absolute steal and a bargain for the Red Sox, Texter here says, you have to understand, Anthony would have made the minimum salary under $1 million for a few years, then arbitration for three more after that. None of that would approach $16 million a year. They're paying him roughly $40 to $50 million more than they have to for the first 5 or 6 years of his contract. That's worth a lot.
Yeah, a good analysis there, but we just look at it on the surface. $130 million for a guy that's going to be the next Carl Yastrzemski-Jim Rice combination. Seems like a relatively cheap bargain for Boston, you know, buying up the arbitration years.
So
always a fun thing to do.
$40 to $50 million overpay, if you want to call it that, for the initial years. Next year, he'll make roughly top 20 outfield money next year. By the time he's in his prime years, when he would have ended arbitration, when he's in his late 20s, he won't have been making top 50 outfield money. There'll be platoon outfielders playing less than 100 games, making just as much money as him, if not more.
And what if this Marcelo Mayer turns out to be everything he's supposed to be? They're going to have to worry about him. Remember, they told Mookie Betts, see ya, because they were worried about finances there. Philly's on the board now. It's 4-1. Bottom of the fifth. First and second, nobody out. Orioles trying to avoid the sweep. They do have a lead. Trevor Rogers has been pitching well, but looks like the Phillies starting to get to him just a little bit. That's going to do it for us. We're back tomorrow. Total Request Thursday. Inside Access coming up here in just a matter of minutes. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you tomorrow. For now, class dismissed.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.